Brian Powers is CEO and founder of PactSafe. Brian made a mid-career shift from law to industry, using the same skills that made him a successful lawyer. PactSafe is unlocking the who, what, when, where, and how of digital legal agreements that you have on your website or mobile app. This is not an end-of-career decision for him, but rather the opening of an opportunity.
Today we have the good fortune to talk to Brian Powers, an attorney and now a CEO of a company called PactSafe. Brian, you made a mid-career change, did you not, rather than an end-of-career change?
I certainly did. That's right. I practiced law for about 9 years and decided pretty recently to jump into the entrepreneurial world.
Well, it's not just changing from law to being the CEO, but you've actually started a new business and are offering it to people who need legal skills. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. So the business came about, from a need that I identified actually as part of my law practice. I represent a lot of tech companies and internet companies, and noticed that there was some disconnects between preparing and providing good legal agreements for websites and mobile apps, and actually implementing and tracking those in an enforceable way. So I got the idea to start a company called PactSafe, and it's a legal tech company in some sense, and that it fills a legal function. It helps make the jobs of in-house lawyers at tech companies much easier. And I'm a lawyer that started a business to make the jobs of other lawyers easier.
One of the things that many lawyers, if not most lawyers, don't understand really is that even though you're an employee of a law firm, whether you run your own law firm or you're an associate, you still are, in a major sense, a business unto yourself. And here you are operating as a lawyer within the context of the legal profession and now left that security to jump into the entrepreneurial world using those same legal skills. What was the catalyst for you? I mean, why did you leave a so-called secure environment and jump into an unknown, because where you're going is a facet that nobody's been before?
Yeah. So there's a couple levels to that answer, because I've practiced in a big firm, and then for the past 6 years I was practicing as a solo practitioner. My perspective on the practice, whether it was in a big firm or on my own, was always that, you know, law was my business, and I didn't look at it as kind of this exclusive right to practice law. It was, I provided a service that happened to be legal services and had to run, you know, the business like any other service provider, really. But when you practice law, you know, there's if you have your client base, you have a reputation, whether you're solo or in a big firm, and there is definitely a sense of security with that. And then jumping out into something like what we're doing with PactSafe, we're creating a new field that's a market for our product. Nobody's ever built anything like what we've built. So, you know, it's definitely a change for sure. But, at the end of the day, it's really just about executing similarly to how you would in law practice, you know, figuring out what our customers need, making sure that we can do it, in a high value manner, and then doing it. And which is kind of what I did as a lawyer.
One of the things that lawyers do in terms of their pricing, at least until recent times when alternative fees became more prevalent, is find out what other lawyers are charging, at least by the hour. Keep track of your time and bill accordingly, hoping that the client will pay. When you started your new business, aside from the fact of how you started it and why you did it, and I want to get back to that in a moment, how did you figure out how much to charge for that product? Because it's more a product than it is a service, correct?
It is. It kind of crosses the line into, it's one of those products that makes the life of a service provider like a lawyer a little bit easier. So, but it certainly is a product. In coming up with the pricing, it's a good question because the pricing is still kind of changing from time to time because it is such a new product. But, you know, you really have to kind of look around, sort of similar to what you mentioned that lawyers do and that I certainly did when I was coming up with, you know, both my hourly rates and my fixed fee pricing, you know, when I was practicing. You've got to look around at analogous products that are plugged into websites and providing to the degree that we can find it, you know, analogous values and efficiencies to, you know, other back office functions inside of a tech company. So looked around and kind of just gauged it on that. And, you know, but we're still kind of making it up as we go along. In that sense, it wasn't a whole lot different. It's not a whole lot different than what I did in my law practice because I went to a lot of fixed fee work when I was doing the you know, all the transactional work that I was doing, and you know, from time to time there was some negotiating that would happen there. So, you know, we're still working that out, but it's coming along pretty well though.
When you went into the new venture and moved away from your law practice, how much planning went into your decision? Or was this merely an opportunity that presented itself? Did you create a business plan? Did you give yourself a certain amount of time to succeed, or you would revert back to your original practice? What was the thought process that went into this for you?
Yeah, it's been kind of a phased, gradual approach. My initial plan with this business was not to do it full time. It was going to be a kind of self-sufficient software product online that would be aimed towards smaller companies and small websites where they might pay $10 a month to use it. Didn't require a whole lot of sales and support and marketing and whatnot. And then as I started building the product, so I didn't build a business plan. I built a prototype and hired some developers to build the prototype, and we just kind of went from there and, you know, built the model up gradually. But the opportunity kind of became exponentially bigger when a couple large enterprise-type customers contacted us kind of out of the blue, which kind of opened my eyes to how big the opportunity was. So when that happened, that's when I decided to, you know, make this a full-time thing. But even once I made that decision, it took about 7 months to get to the point where I was full-time on this. And even now, you know, there's still some remnants of the law practice around, and clients that you know, have that I've put somewhere else, or you know, but they still, you have that trusted advisor relationship, and they still kind of want to bend your ear from time to time. So it was a long, gradual process for sure. Once I made the decision,
but this is obviously something that is a little different from most of the lawyers that we talk about and talk to concerning a change in their career, because they were, in a sense, facing a situation of burnout or age and incapacity. In your case, you just saw a better opportunity, or at least a niche that could use some different skills that you possessed.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It wasn't, it was not an easy decision because, I worked pretty hard to build the practice, and it was successful, and it was a good life for me and my family. But once this was more about pursuing an opportunity that I don't know that it's a better opportunity than a law practice, but the law practice that I had, but it was just different, and it was attractive to me, and I wasn't burnt out on the practice of law. This just is one of those things that came along and seemed like, now is a good time to try to pursue it.
Brian, share with us, if you will, the website URL, so our listeners can see the exciting things that you will be doing, you're doing now, and will be doing in the future.
Sure. So the website's PACSAFE.com, PACTSAFE.com. And what it is, it's a digital legal engine for managing, tracking, and deploying the legal agreements that live and breathe on websites and mobile apps. So most people think of those as terms of service, privacy policies, terms of use. They manifest themselves on websites as quick wrap agreements, which are agreements that you check a box or click a button or do some sort of physical action to actually accept. And then you also have browse wrap agreements, which are the legal terms that you see linked in the footer of a website from time to time. What our product does is, first of all, it allows people to implement legal agreements on those websites and mobile apps using best practices to make sure they're enforceable. A lot of times businesses will implement those types of agreements in ways that make them not enforceable in a court. And, decisions come out almost on a weekly basis now where some big company is suffering some sort of adverse decision in court because they haven't been able to enforce these things, not because of what the contracts say, but because of the way they're presented and implemented. So that's the one thing we do is help with enforceability. But then we also provide a whole set of tools that allow whoever is managing those agreements to manage them in a way that's very similar to how traditional paper contracts are managed. So, now if a lawyer wants to If I'm in an in-house counsel or even outside counsel, and I want to update, a standard form that one of my clients has in the paper sense or even the e-signature sense, I just make the change in Word and email it to them or upload it into Dropbox or whatever they're using. But when these agreements that are out on websites and mobile apps, it's not as easy to update it. There's no mechanism for people in the legal function to have that same semblance of control over those legal agreements. So our product changes that. Once it's implemented, they can update and manage all those agreements in a very similar way to just making a change to a document, in Word or Google Docs or whatever they're using traditionally. And then the last piece of the puzzle is When you get into a situation where you actually have to prove one of those agreements, so the analogous thing of pulling out a contract from a file drawer that's signed and dated, in the internet world, it's a little bit more difficult. You have to pull data from all sorts of different data sources and figure out what version was in place and when it was in place. Our product, you just click a button, and we generate all that stuff for you. We certify the agreement and give you that analogous thing to a printed paper contract.
Like everything else in the legal profession nowadays, technology is making changes so much more quickly than ever before. You almost have to gasp before the next change comes by. Brian, I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and best of wishes and luck and skill to you in the future helping these changes come about and the profession improve even further. Again, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz Podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.